Hey, y'all, and welcome back to the Bedroom Talks podcast, where we get financially intimate. Today, we have the privilege of welcoming a guest who embodies the essence of living boldly, Tierney Sherrell. I hope that I said that correctly. Tierney's story is an inspiring tapestry woven from faith, courage, and an unwavering commitment to personal growth. Buckle up as we dive into her journey from the corporate world to motherhood. And witness how she transformed challenges into opportunities to empower others. Tierney is a multi-passionate powerhouse. She's a devoted wife and mother, a podcast host, and the founder of the Live Bold Movement. This prayer-powered community empowers women to embrace their unique calling and live life boldly, embracing their values of being brave, obedient, loyal and determined. Get ready to be moved as we explore Tierney's framework for whole person well-being, encompassing family, freedom, finances, pharmaceuticals, fitness, food, and fun. We'll delve into her personal journey, including battling postpartum depression and bipolar disorder, and discover the tools and strategies that she developed to overcome obstacles and live life to the fullest. So join us as we embark on a conversation filled with wisdom, encouragement, and actionable insights. Get ready to be inspired by Tierney's journey and discover how you too can live boldly. Hey y'all, get under the covers and get comfortable because we're about to get intimate. No. Not that kind of intimate, but close. Did you know that three of the most intimate conversations we can have are sex, mental health, and finances? Probably didn't expect that last one, did you? Financial challenges are actually one of the leading causes of divorce and stress today. A big reason? We don't talk about it. At least not thoroughly, anyhow. That's where I come in. Hi, I'm Dr. Michelle Marie, a certified wealth coach, best-selling author, and the creator of Bedroom Talks. Get Financially Intimate, a podcast focused on bringing awareness to the importance of financial intimacy and enticing openness to get real in a judgment-free zone. Together, we're going to cover a multitude of financial topics, so you can leap toward financial freedom with confidence. Are you ready? Grab your wine or whatever drink you prefer, and let's unrobe this topic. All right. Well, I am so excited to have this conversation and have you on with us, Tierney. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Bedroom Talks podcast.
Thank you so much. Oh my gosh, I loved that intro. That was awesome.
I am honestly, I have to give a shout out to somebody that we both know very well, Miss Tamara Andrus. I actually went through her podcasting course to help come up with all of what I needed to be able to launch this podcast. So utilizing the strategies that she taught in her podcast course is how I came up with the intro. And I am like, it was just mind blowing. I'm like, cause I couldn't have come up with that on my own. I mean, I did, but I used insight, right?
Yep.
Goodness. So, well, first off, I am just excited to have you being in this particular episode because I just recently closed out my first season, which was a really long season. I don't know why I did it, but it was an entire year. Probably won't do that for this season. This is the beginning of season two of the Bedroom Talks podcast. And what a great way to come in, because what your treat, your overall essence of your business is about living boldly, right? And so I really want to start this season off bold.
Yes.
I mean, like I'm like, this is perfect. Like starting this season off bold, we're going to get bold, we're going to get deeper. And I, yeah, this is great.
Yes, I love it. Perfect timing.
Absolutely. So, I usually kind of ask, in your own words, I know I gave, this intro of you and, was like, oh my gosh, she's so amazing. And you absolutely are. But I like to hear in your own words, you can kind of have a summary of why, or not why, but like what brought you to where you are today, and why are you so passionate about what you do right now?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Oh, there's a lot. It's been a journey. You mentioned obviously the mental health challenges that I've gone through, and I kind of started on this path of thinking I was going to be a mental health coach, and through God kind of putting things in my path of getting to volunteer at it's called the Dream Center. It's here in Phoenix where I live, and it's the largest human trafficking and recovery center in the country. There's dream centers all over, but I was volunteering there, and I was doing this mental health coaching. This was my first step into kind of doing this as what I thought was going to be my career, my business. And it just showed me really quick that that just wasn't for me. It wasn't the right direction. It was an amazing thing to do and to be able to talk to these women. And I know a lot of, if I would have been taking on clients or doing, even group coaching, nobody was going to have probably the things that they had been through to that level, but it was really heavy. And just with my own capacity, with my own mental health, journey and struggles and things that I had been through, I realized really quickly that that one-on-one mental health coaching was not the direction that he had for me. And on top of that, it was also, incorporating my faith into the whole thing. And you mentioned, those seven pillars that I have, but the foundation of it is all my faith. So, I was getting, I was on this faith journey. I was on this entrepreneurial journey, getting in network marketing, which is that pharmaceuticals, the FARM. It's the plants over pills, natural wellness. And it was kind of, okay, I have all these pieces of, mental health and natural wellness and my faith journey and now entrepreneurship and things and personal growth and development. And it was really just, okay, they all were stepping stones into this. Okay, I'm meant to like build this community. And I learned that, just from a vision that God gave me when I was at a personal growth and development conference. And it really just led me on this path to, launching a podcast and starting a community that meets monthly. And because so much of my mental health journey and everything, I would isolate a lot. Well, if I was going through something or I was in, a depressive state, it was, and I just, believe the enemy's lies and would, that nobody needed to hear my stuff that I was going through because everybody else is going through stuff too, So it's like, just getting out of that state and realizing that we're meant to be in community, we're meant to have this connection, we're meant to walk this out together. And, it just kind of was growing and evolving. And now it's leading to, like I said, this annual event that we're going to have. And so it's just, yeah, it's been a crazy, wild ride, but all very exciting. And it's been really cool to see the steps like leading up to what we're doing now. So.
It's amazing to me when I hear stories like this because, I mean, if you ever read the Bible at all, like somebody expects this to happen and God's like, I think maybe we'll do this instead, right? I mean, that's how my life has gone multiple times. And sometimes, it's not always a great feeling when we're doing that either, right? And so I love hearing that, but also like sometimes life happens and it's just something completely unexpected, and then God will still use that, right? And so there's pieces of that, I think, in both of our stories, right? But I really love that you have your seven pillars. And this is like the piece that, like I said earlier, like I wanted to start off bold, right? Like get a bold conversation going here. And this is the piece that I think is really gonna drive this home for this conversation in this episode. You have seven pillars. I have five pillars for my business. And pretty much all of my five pillars are encompassed in your seven pillars in some way, shape, or form. Some of them are the exact words. Okay. They are faith, family, finances, fitness, and fun.
I love it.
They're my five F's, the good F's, right? And the reason why they are my five pillars is because they're the five core areas of. Actually, I didn't even think about it until recently, but you ever heard of Maslow's hierarchy of needs? Every single one of those pillars I just mentioned touch every piece of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? Fitness is not just about physical fitness.
Oh, 100%.
It's also about our spiritual fitness, which factors into the faith aspect. But it's also about our mental fitness, right? But here's the deeper thing. When we're not strong in one of those five areas, the rest of the areas we need, like if we're weak in one area, we've got to be able to be stronger in the other area to combat that, right? But say we're weak in the area of fitness, especially mental fitness. Say we're really struggling. I personally have a very, very, very long history of generalized anxiety disorder, and I used to struggle with depression as well. And I know when I get in a season where I'm really highly stressed or feeling depressive, sometimes certain times a year are a challenge for me. It makes me feel more sad and just kind of down. I tend to not be fully focused on my goals. I'm not focused on my spending habits. My finances might get out of whack because I'm not paying attention to it.
Oh,
Or
absolutely.
my feelings are driving my actions, right? And that is why I really feel like every single one of those pillars helps you achieve wealth as a whole, because wealth is not just about a dollar amount in your bank account. It's an overall concept. So, with all of that in mind, I'd like to invite you to start this conversation off. Well, we already started, but start the deeper part of the conversation off, like kind of if you're willing to share, how has that experience been for you? Has there been moments when you were at maybe a tougher time in your mental health or mental wealth? What was it like trying to maneuver finances? And did you have anything that really helped you to get through that and still be able to manage your finances despite what you were going through?
So it's interesting because, there's been many different stages and seasons of this. When I was first diagnosed with the bipolar 2 disorder, it was as a result of having severe postpartum depression. And that was really to the point of suicidal thoughts. And that's what scared me enough to get help. I had three kids. I had just had my youngest. He was probably like 6 months old, and I was just spiraling. And so at the time, I'm a full-time mom. I was not bringing in any kind of income whatsoever. My husband had a corporate job, and so at that point, it was just, and I went the traditional route. At that time, I was pretty far from my faith and relying on God. I was trying to push through on my own strength, which is interesting because this came up in a conversation just earlier this week about when I went into that very first appointment to finally get help, and the doctor asked me, like, why did you wait so long? Because I'd literally been having these symptoms probably for close to 20 years at this point. I was 36, I believe. And I was just like, I don't know. And I just broke down and started crying. But in hindsight, I can look back and be like, it was because I was trying to do it all on my own strength. I thought I had to control this. I thought I had to, do this on my own. Obviously, there's a stigma around needing to get help and all that. And, and I was doing it all without God. And so, at that time, like I said, I went the traditional route, therapy, medication, all the things. And then as we grew and as it relates to our finances, what happened is my husband lost his job. And this is when we were still in Illinois. And that kind of was the launching pad for us to come out to Arizona. He started looking for jobs out here. And that really changed things for us moving out here because it's, I don't know if you're familiar with living in the Chicago area, but, financially, I mean, taxes are insane, even though we were in the suburbs. And of course, we were on one income with my husband with three young kids, and I actually, when we moved, right before we moved here, it was kind of through that mental health journey and doing, getting some healing and, going the traditional route. There's some healing, obviously, but a lot of it is like managing the symptoms and getting you. So I talk about the pharmaceuticals as in the FARM, plants over pills. I'm not anti-medication. Like they served a purpose in my life and got to a certain point. But I truly believe that there's that huge spiritual component. And I don't think we need to be on medication for the rest of our lives. And so I've since, like I said, we got to Arizona. I started, that's when kind of that entrepreneurial spirit kind of started popping back up. Once I was stable and managing those symptoms, and I got to a certain point, and that's when I started dipping my toes in the network marketing world. And at the time, it was like a beauty company, which is so not aligned with me. We were joking right before we started, like, rarely wear makeup, I'm not my thing, but it was fun, and it was a sense of community. And it really is a brilliant business model, and coming from a corporate world, my previous life is I was a CPA, I was in the corporate accounting world, I was a controller, all these things. Like, it's funny, all, like you said, all these little pieces that God was putting into place to get me to now building a community. And my husband has since left the corporate world to really pursue his calling of
Love it.
coaching and public speaking and things. So it's like now we're in this totally crazy financial world of us both stepping into entrepreneurship at the same time. So yeah, it's been a wild ride for sure. And but yeah, I mean, like you said, we can look back and see how all these seeds were being planted of having this accounting background and now moving into entrepreneurship and the mental health journey and getting to a certain point where, and then I wanted, you can get to a certain point and then when God comes in, then you can have full healing. And it's been crazy to see what he can do.
It do listen. I'm like speechless because I know my own journey and I know what he's brought me through. And I'm not surprised, right? I'm not surprised to hear what he's brought you through and where he's brought you to, even though it wasn't expected. Like it's just how God operates. And we don't always see it in the journey. We don't always we may not always feel like it's the right thing. Like you'll hear people be like, oh, if it feels right, you know that you're on the right path. Not always, because guess what? Do you remember when you were a kid and your legs used to hurt terribly all the time? What normally, if you've experienced this, most of the time when you would just complain, if people would complain about their shins aching, like, oh my gosh, my shins ache. Oh my gosh, like you're, as a kid, we're told that that's growing pains, right? Your legs are growing and it hurts because they're growing and it's making you stronger. It's making you bigger, right? It's making you healthier.
Yep.
Growth isn't always a good feeling.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that just that makes me think of too the whole, because my chapter in the book that we co-authored is called The Journey from Broken to Bold. And it makes me think about the story of, you know, a broken bone, right? It's stronger where it healed. You know, if it wasn't, then it, if it wasn't broken in the first place when it, but the key is obviously that painful growth period of it mending and coming back together too. So
absolutely. And thinking about that in just being able to start maneuvering through that mending and healing journey, there were a couple of things that I noticed in what you shared that it started off with. One was recognition, recognizing, hey, this isn't okay and I need to do something about it.
Yep.
Number two was seeking support. You went to go talk to somebody. Sometimes that means that somebody just needs to go talk to a talk to their spouse, talk to a trusted family member, a trusted friend, a pastor, something like that. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to go to a mental health provider, like, but know that it's okay if you do, right?
Yes.
But seek some kind of support because we're not meant to do life alone.
Nope.
Not only does it say in Genesis that Eve was created out of Adam to be a helpmate because man should not be alone.
Yep.
1 Thessalonians 5:11 also says, encourage each other and build one another up just as you're already doing.
Yep, absolutely. Like
it's, and it, and that's not the only two scriptures that talk about accountability and encouraging each other or whatever. Like that's just two examples, right?
Absolutely. There's countless ones. Yep.
Right. So recognition, support or seeking support. And then the last thing that I noticed was deciding that change was necessary.
Yeah.
Right. Now, of course, after that, it's like actually taking steps on it, but you had to decide, okay, change is needed. For you, that not only meant changing your actual physical environment by moving, it meant changing the way you do things.
Yeah.
It meant, you know, it may probably even meant changing how you speak to yourself and what you think about yourself and your situation, right? I know that was the case for me for a long time. Like I had to really dig deep into, hey, you can't say that you're a terrible person all the time and expect to feel different.
Yeah.
Like you're talking negatively to yourself. So it's natural for you to think negatively. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes I thought that about myself because that's what other people said and it wasn't true, but I repeated what they said to me to myself and it didn't help.
Nope. Absolutely. And that's one of the biggest tools of the enemy. Like a lot of times in mental health, like you'll hear, I used to say this, I used to say like, my brain is trying to kill me. Like, and I, you know, I would say like, all these things, like my brain, this and my mind and all this stuff. And it's like, your mind is not the enemy. It's the enemy's playground where he will go. And like you said, just put those thoughts in there and try and make you believe it. And, you know, it's, and like I said, it can become, I've heard multiple sermons lately on this soundtrack, this theme of soundtracks and how it can replay over and over. Like you said, whether it came from the enemy trying to tell you that about yourself, or if somebody spoke, you know, lies over you. Absolutely. And yeah. And so we do, I mean, we're told scripture, right, to take captive every thought. And yeah, and that's the thing. We can't necessarily control certain thoughts that pop in or things that other people say about us, but we are responsible to capture those and make them obedient to Christ and what he says about us. So that's been huge for sure.
Absolutely. That actually reminds me, and I've talked about this, ironically, a number of times within the last couple of weeks. So I'm like, it's one of those things that when something keeps coming back up again, and I have no idea why I'm holding a pen in my hand right now. life. But there's like when something comes up multiple times in a row, it makes you go, why is that? And I realize I'm actually going through some things in life right now that I'm not talking to other people about, but I probably need to really like sit down and re-listen to the words that I'm saying and like refresh my understanding of how to apply them, right? So because we can know things, but sometimes we forget things, right? And so what you were just talking about reminded me of something that was said in, or rather written in a book that I read at the beginning of my healing journey about a decade ago. I had, like I said, I had anxiety. I had a little bit of depression. I had anger issues. I mean, I'm talking, I would get fits of rage and bang my head up against walls. I was so angry. I was more angry at myself than anything else. I was self-destructive, not to the point of like cutting or anything like that. But if you've ever banged your head up against the wall, like for real, it hurts. right. And so there were things like that. I had also experienced sexual abuse. And because of that, I just quite honestly and frankly, I had a period where I was, I had a bit of an addiction when it came to intimacy. There was certain aspects of that that may make sense to others, but I had to maneuver through all of that. And I was trying to do it all at once, and it was not fun. But fortunately, I had someone that was very trusted in my faith community that really helped me through it. And she helped me walk through this healing journey using a book. And it's a book, it's called Life's Healing Choices: Freedom from Your Hurts, Hang-ups, and Habits. And the main author is John Baker. He basically wrote the book in collaboration with Pastor Rick Warren, who is out of Saddleback Church in Texas. And what they did was they built this book using the Beatitudes. And they utilize the elements of the Beatitudes in the Celebrate Recovery program. Have you heard of Celebrate Recovery? Okay, so for anyone that hasn't heard of Celebrate Recovery, it's very similar to like an AA, but it's not AA. I'll just explain it like that. You'll have to Google it. It's a super cool concept, but they take each of the Beatitudes and they help you learn how to heal from their perspective of each Beatitude. And they talk about, like, they give a consensus of like how that would work and why, and like the background behind the Beatitude. And then they go into a practical application piece. And then they share two stories from two different individuals of how that person articulated the Beatitude into, or not articulated, applied the Beatitude into their life and how it helped them, right? But at the I think it was toward the beginning of the conversation. There's this, or the book, there's this aspect of control, right? Many of us like to control things. Raise your hand if that's you. You don't have to. 100%. Like, and it makes sense because if you've been through certain things, like you feel like you don't have a choice but to try to control it, right? But unfortunately, like you said, we can't always do that, right? And so they're like, how do you manage? So what they said in the book was, you cannot control what happens to you, but you can control how you respond to it. It's the same as, so I take it one step further and I say, you can't control what people say and do to you, but you can control how you respond to it. That's that piece. So you know what? Because here's the thing, we want to feel like there's some level of control, because those of us who have been through certain types of manipulation and and had certain types of insecurities or certain hurts and things like that from the past, to tell us just let it go puts us back in a position of making us feel like we're not allowed to stand up for ourselves.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so this statement gives us that ability to have some level of control, but mm-hmm. also realize that they don't have control over us either.
Right.
Right.
Yes, absolutely. I love that so much. And I love that you were talking about, you know, kind of addiction and AA and stuff, because it brought up an amazing conversation that I had with a very dear friend who has a past of alcohol addiction. And she's like, nothing bad to say against the whole like AA and 12 steps and everything, but she's like, but if I were to continue in that, I would have to show up every time, every meeting, and stand up and claim that, like, hi, my name is, and I'm an alcoholic. And she's like, and I don't claim that as an identity of myself. I don't claim that as a label, as any of that. And so she's like, I had to take that final step of full healing through my father. And we kind of made the joke. I was like, yeah, you need to have a program called the 13th step, you know, like, and, it's like, but it's so true. You know, it's putting on that, you know, internalizing that as an identity. Yeah. And, you know, taking that final step to release that, like not claim that label, not claim that identity, and taking it one step further. And one of the huge things, whether it's addiction, mental health, trauma, all those things, is releasing the shame around it.
Yeah.
That's been the biggest thing that it's starting to come out more and more of as I, you know, step into more of a leadership role and speaking and things like that, is that that's that main point that that God is calling me to, you know, is to help others release that shame of their story. Well, allow him to do that for them, and just giving people permission that to do that and share their own stories and their own challenges and what they've been through. So
I love that piece, because you're absolutely right. Like, what God takes us through, we're then able to say, you know what, I went through this, and here's what I did to maneuver through it. Here's how I healed, you know, and then you can relate to somebody else. And oftentimes, what's the saying that I've heard in the Christian community? Your mess is your ministry.
Yeah.
You've heard that statement. Go like, ahead. It's so true, though. Your mess becomes your ministry. Yep. I was in a financial crisis facing bankruptcy and foreclosure. I had to go through a short sale process. I had to go to a food bank and live in income-based housing for almost 2 years. And while I worked on recovering financially, and now I'm teaching or educating, equipping other people on how to never even get to the place that I got to, so that they can thrive in their finances, right? Like, who would have thought that that would ever be possible? Right? Like, what? Not to mention multiple other areas of my story, but we'll get to that one day. But you brought up a really good point that I was going to ask. A piece of that healing is the final step of, you know, the letting go of the shame, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we don't even get to that point when we're holding it into ourselves.
Oh, absolutely.
We're keeping it to ourselves. We're not always able to let it go. And the reason why is because, going back to what we were just talking about a little bit ago, we're meant to do life together. And when you release to somebody else, to the right people at the right time, I do have to preface that, okay? Pray on that.
Yes.
When you release something to the right people in the right time, in the right manner, you receive even more healing in the process. I don't know about you. So you mentioned briefly about the book. And so, my listeners that have been listening for a while know that I've been a part of a book called The Joyful Entrepreneur. And we just recently launched the volume 2 of The Joyful Entrepreneur, I was in the first one. The current one, volume two, is currently available on ebook, and the paperback is going to be available in May. Right. So go ahead and put your pre-order in now so that you get it as soon as it comes out. But you are in volume two
Yes.
of The Joyful Entrepreneur. And I don't know about you, but for me, and even happened with the first one as well, as I was writing, and sometimes it wasn't just that I was writing, but as I was reading back what I wrote, emotion came out. And in that emotion was this feeling of kind of relief, right? And for me, that was a releasing of some of the stuff that I was still holding on to.
Oh,
And I
absolutely.
just kind of wanted to ask you, like, what, if you can talk a couple of minutes about like that process for you as you were writing your chapter, and if you feel like giving a little sneak peek of something that's in there, go ahead. But like, if you want to share about something, and how that process went for you, that makes
Yeah. Oh, wow.
sense.
Yes. I know it's so funny because as you were talking, about what you went through and that now you're using that as your message and helping others, it's that is kind of part of what I wrote was that he wastes nothing. And so the like what do you call that? Like the subtitle or whatever of The Joyful Entrepreneur Volume 2 is Solutions, Signs, and Wonders, right? So and one of the signs that I talk about is the verse Romans 8:28. It's one of those things, that just kept coming up. It was like it literally started on some random TV show that I was watching in 2020. I don't even watch TV anymore, but for some reason I was like, I'm gonna watch this show, and this verse comes up in there. And then of course, it was like one thing after another, whether it was a podcast, a sermon, a book, a conversation, like it just kept coming up, this Romans 8:28. And that's the, and we know that God works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And so throughout that time, he was obviously weaving this new calling into my life that, I had no idea I was going to be stepping into, but it's truly that he wastes nothing, none of the pain, none of the struggles, none of the stupid mistakes, and he uses it for good. And it's not like for my good or just my good, it's for serving others so that, like you said, people don't have to go through it to the level that you did, and to teach them that it's okay. And if they are going through that, like you said, it's okay to talk about it. It's okay to reach out and get help. And yeah, so that was a major theme for me, was looking back. There's a quote that says, like, hindsight is 2020, but everything is 8:28. I love that one all the time,
I love
because
it.
it's like, yes, you can look back and see all these things, and then you can also see how he's using every single thing to work it all for a new purpose and for his glory. And but as far as like the whole writing process too, yeah, it was very therapeutic and emotional for sure. I sat down and wrote like the whole first question answer, which is essentially kind of your testimony in there, and all in like one sitting. And I used almost my entire word count, like just in that first question. So it was great. I mean, I had to go back and like take things out and all that, but yeah, it's a crazy process when you start to think back through your own mess and your own story and start putting it out on paper for everyone to see. It's definitely there was a roller coaster of emotions for sure, but then it's also so cool to like see all the things that you have overcome, and because healing is a process. I say like I am healed of, like bipolar 2 disorder, but just mental health in general and just everything that goes into that is like healing's a lifelong process, I feel like.
It
You
is.
know, you really it really is. And yeah. So yeah, it was definitely interesting. I mean, this was my first. I've always loved to write, but this was my first like published author project, I guess. So yeah,
I
so
love it.
yeah, so it was exciting, it was emotional, and it was powerful for sure to put all that out there. So
That's amazing. And I truly believe that as people read each of our chapters, that they're going to be inspired and encouraged. And that I honestly believe that there are certain chapters that someone's going to read it and it's going to be just what they need. And there's going to be a touch of healing from that, just from hearing the words of going, you know what? I'm not alone.
yes,
I'm not
absolutely.
alone.
Yep.
I love
And
that.
just with the, there were 17 authors on there. Like, you're gonna find something in there that you resonate with. I mean, there's so many different walks of life, men and women, all different ages, all different backgrounds, all, and experiences that, yeah, there's so much goodness in there. Like I said, I keep telling people, like, it's not just for entrepreneurs. Like, yes, it is. It can be a business resource for sure. There's so many, pieces of wisdom in there, but there's powerful testimonies in it too that have nothing to do with business, So,
Absolutely.
yeah.
Absolutely. So in thinking about all of this too, and like the healing journey and the releasing, you actually have something else that you do. Not only do you have your podcast, which I don't think we ever mentioned your podcast name, so please let us know what your podcast name is, but you have something else that you have that's coming up very, very soon, that allows you to help to operate in this journey of helping other people in their healing as well. And so I'd like to give you kind of an opportunity to talk a little bit about that, like what it is, the passion behind it, and how people can get involved in that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, it's so exciting. So, I mean, in-person events like big conferences, retreats, all of things have been so pivotal and powerful in my own journey and my growth and my healing and stepping into the calling and all that. So, God gave me the vision to create retreats. And so I'm a big visionary, I'm a big dreamer. I'm the, jump in, head first and all that. But he also gave me the message, start small. So the podcast, the community, everything is under the Live Bold, the Live Bold movement. And now it's the Live Bold retreat. So it's going to be a one-day event. I'm still calling it a retreat because, like I said, there are other things coming, and it really is going to be, just this full day, morning into night, immersive experience. And we're really going to encompass that framework with faith as a foundation and those 7F pillars. And there's speakers and activation exercises and just all sorts of different activities and connection opportunities and things that are going, praise and worship, dance party, and just to have a component for all of the pillars, and then everything centered on personal growth and development rooted in our identity in Christ where it belongs. So yeah, it's in Phoenix on February 17th, and it's going to be so fun, so amazing, so just transformative. I know the power of in-person events. You can't put it into words. You literally have to experience being in the room. I always use, I know that phrase is probably way overused about get in the room, but it's just so true. It's truly life-changing. I mean, I was sitting in a room at one of these events where the vision for hosting one came, and now it's a reality. So yeah, and then just the connections that are made through that too. I mean, that's where you find your people for when you are going through something and you need that community to surround you. And then that's where you find your people who are going to celebrate you and support you when you are doing big things. So whether it's the highs or lows and everything in between, getting in these communities and these in-person events are just, it's just so crucial. So
I love that. And, you know, I have to say, I totally get what you mean where you're like, oh, it's small, but, you know, it'll be bigger. You know, we do that sometimes with that, you know, we do that to ourselves, right? It's no big deal. It's really small, but, you know, but here's the thing. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life where I've wanted to go to conferences and they're like 3, 4 days long. And I'm like, there's no way I can make it to that long of a conference. And they're like, yeah, well, we've got like 1 day options. And I'm like, yeah, but I can't choose what day I want to go to. Or, you know, I feel like I'm going to miss all of this, right? So there's all these decisions and anxieties over like, how do you choose? But guess what? Yours is only 1 day. And so if somebody can only make 1 day, guess what? That's perfect for them because it's just 1 day and they don't have to choose.
Absolutely. Yep.
Right?
Yep. And I have to mention too that it is intentionally on February 17th, based on 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. And obviously, I particularly use that translation with the sound mind because, you know, the mental health component and all that. But yeah, so we intentionally put it on 217, representing that verse. So.
I love it. I absolutely love it. So, okay, share with us. And just in case y'all are listening and you can't write it down right now, it will be in the show notes. But share with us how somebody can check out and register for the conference, and as well as how they can find your podcast and where they can find your podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. So everything is finally under one website, which is just tierneysherelle.com. So you can find a link to it's the Live Bold Retreat 2024 is on there. There's a link to the Joyful Entrepreneur. There's a link to the podcast, which is Live Bold Movement. Yeah, the link to the community. We have an online community as well for because we meet monthly locally in Phoenix. But we are being called to expand, and so there's a virtual option to just get connected in there too, for the community, which again is Live Bold Movement. And but yeah, everything's under my website. The podcast is on pretty much all of the platforms that you can think of to listen to the podcast. And yeah, that's where everything is. And Instagram is at Tierney Sherelle, and then at live.bold.movement. So,
Love it.
yeah.
Okay, last thing before we get ready to close out. Encouraging word for the audience, or maybe anything that's on your heart that you really feel like you are moved to share.
Oh my.
I
Well,
know.
going with the theme of, you know, kicking off this new year with boldness, I think I really just want to share, you know, you touched on it in the beginning, in the intro, but just that this is redefining boldness in with that acronym of brave, obedient, loyal, and determined, you know, really stepping into that courage that comes from Christ. Not our own strength and not our own control. And then the obedience to, you know, the blessing is on the other side of the obedience. And, you know, and the confidence comes after the action. You know, we talk about all these things that we are sometimes delaying. I think I heard a quote one time that, you know, delayed obedience is still disobedience, you know. So, and I think a lot of that comes from fear or, you know, wanting control and things like that, that we're kind of delaying our obedience, even though we know God is calling us to something. So I just want to encourage everybody to take that step. Like every action you take in the direction of your calling is going to bring more confidence and more blessings. And he's going to bring the people around you. You will be blown away. Like when you start stepping into that calling, like he just starts bringing people around you. And you're like, oh, wow, they're doing this. And really being conscious to let those people be inspiration of what's possible for you too. And because I've been there where, you know, it's like you see these people doing something similar and you let that stop you, you know, because you're like, oh, they're doing it better. They've been doing it longer. I could never get to that point and everything. So I love making that shift to being like, no, they're doing it. And God is bringing this person into my path to show me what's possible for me too. So
I love it. I don't even feel like I need to like end this on any particular high note because I feel like you just did that so well. Look, I'm just going to encourage people, if you need to rewind. I know that some people don't know what the word rewind means because, you know, some of us aren't Blockbuster old, but rewind and listen to that again. Really take in what she just said there. Y'all share this with somebody that you know needs to hear what we talked about today. They need to know that they're not alone. They need a little bit of encouragement, and maybe there's a tip or two in what we talked about that they're like, you know what, I didn't think about that. And it can change their life. Just takes a simple share. Go ahead and share it with people. Share it on social media. Leave us comments. Let us know what you think about this episode. And don't forget to follow Tierney. And if you're not following me yet, please do that too. and like I said, I will put in the show notes information about Tierney's website, her podcast. Well, it'll have her website there with everything listed, the podcast, the retreat, and her social media. And don't forget to check out all the things that I have going on as well. And until next time, I hope and pray financial blessings as well as peace and security over every area of your life. And we will talk to you soon.
Amen.